then they get out of the bus when that person gets there. So we have a morning block and an afternoon block. And that allows for more reservations of it. Somebody can reserve the whole day, but they've got to play full-time blocks. So those are things for budget, but just, we are trying to manage it. And same thing at Marius Young. We're told, we talked with Loyola Soccer, that they have such big tournaments that we only have a certain amount of capacity for teams. So we're trying to even monitor what we've heard back from last summer. So it's, we're popular.
So it sounds, what I'm hearing you say is, you are taking steps in your programming and scheduling that address some of the parking issues, which, you know, that I would love to see what that, you know, results in before we consider building the infrastructure and a fee system. But, you know, this goes back to our parks are heavily programmed and heavily used, and we have to be really careful.
And that's why adding a new feature has to be really thought out. Like the non-motorized boat launch, you have to really think about how many people at the shore less draw.
Is it even doable?
Yeah. You know, well, and that's it. Yeah. Like, and just even improving what it is now. So those are things that we'll keep coming up with, and we'll show master fee schedules and show you some of our thinking that improves our maintenance. We get a little bit extra revenue that isn't hard on the public, right? Just a little bit here for our time. And then allows it for more use for the public. Because if somebody reserves a shelter all day, there's no other reservation. But what if they're only there for 2 hours in the morning? Somebody could be there in the afternoon.
I use the current non-motorized boat launch every week during the summer. Just saying.
It's on the list. It's on the list. There's three. No, and not projects. There's three phases of it, and that's one of the first phases that has to be done. So it's coming. That was great feedback and good information.
I think Darren might have some information because we did change parking rules fairly recently, and there was a lot of meat to those. Some of it did include paid parking districts, which we didn't create, but there would have been a route to do that that we think added. But he would know. He's the expert.
Darren's awesome. That was great feedback though and information.
Awesome. Do we want to have any other discussion about the community comments at this time?
I would just note that our supporters of those river parks, Woodland, Berwyn, and Yale, and all that, one of the things that came out of community engagement up there was to provide a parking pass for the local community at a discounted rate so that they can go in and use it. And, you know, that gave a little bit of preference to the local community, which has been valuable, but we also have enforcement. And so that's the trade-off, right? I mean, you can only either try and get it what you can without enforcement and just realize it's not going to work perfect, or you have enforcement. So
Well, even if we got a range, which we've always talked about wanting, they would, in our summer months, that's what they would be doing, right? Mm. They wouldn't be doing rangering through the, I mean, they would really be, you kind of get stuck down there, right? Because you're educating primarily, right? But then you're, you know, enforce the educate, but that's where you would kind of be stuck too. And you hope that revenue would be enough to cover that support. You know what I mean? Not cover it, but you know, there's a trade-off, right? So yeah, the local community I thought was a very interesting, and just like you said, something to consider. Yep. The one thing with dogs off leash trail, first, I love it, of course, that's what people want to do, but you have to find out what your purpose for your natural area.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I'm over here.
Finally made it.
I know, I'm just sending everybody new links.
Watching the dog, you're right, the dogs do tremendous damage.
Well, and I was talking.
Not to mention they do damage to anybody that has to be walking, running, right?
Well, what I was trying to get at was the purpose of your natural spaces. So, like Metro, again, this is not saying what we should do or how we are, but currently we have an ordinance throughout the city with dogs on leash, except for an up dog park. Mm-hmm. If you take those natural spaces, most people or most places, most cities, if they're focusing on natural areas restoration, that impacts the habitat with having dogs run all over. You're discouraging your habitat, not absolutely, right? I mean, we still have great habitat in Marriott Chum, so it's not an all or nothing, but if you do just allow dogs to be off leash in an area, that is a potential impact. And so you have to figure out what those spaces are where your resource is limited. you know, as far as your gain and what you're willing to risk on that. And so, for example, Metro's the extreme. They don't allow dogs there off leash at all because their goal is to restore the habitat for habitat. We don't have necessarily that strong of one here. LO is very much that way as well. But that's where some of that question is there a parcel that you could do that on and be able to have success with your habitat goals as well? Or your goals maybe are different there. So just something to think about when that happens.
Well,
we talk about thinking about.
Historically, our board has leaned toward, especially at riverfront parks, mm-hmm. That we are very respectful of the riparian zone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I watched a dog a couple of weeks ago just in my backyard off leash go and attack the Canadian geese and rip their nest apart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's that's real.
Mm-hmm.
And we've historically leaned toward the priority being, especially riverfront parks,
yeah.
That we're stewards of the resources. And anyway,
so that's where that balance just plays.
Personally, I love dogs on leash. Yeah, period. They need to be on leash. Unless they're in a dog park area that's off leash. And that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
If we do anything else, I mean, we've gone through this over the years with Meredith Young, and we had a group of people that loved to have their dogs off leash. We had the police involved to give them the tickets, and the police friggin' hated to them, so they even did it. And they got tickets, and some of the tickets were like $300 or $400. And then they took them, and the judge who was involved, the cool dog lover, wiped out all the tickets, so nobody ever paid anything.
You have to have a cut, yeah.
And so what everybody found out was I can have my dog off leash on the trails, and that created a lot of trouble.
Didn't we just have an incident where there was a dispute between two dog owners? I think one had both had their dogs off leash, and one of them pepper sprayed the other dog.
It's actually bear spray.
Bear spray.
Was it actually? Well, I know what the difference between the two is, but yes.
Well, so. Because segueing back to the parking, like,
yeah.
I think Cedar Oak is way overutilized. And if there was a parking fee, I know it would piss some people off, but if there's a parking fee, maybe people are going down there to lollygag for the day. They would maybe carpool instead of like 5 cars, all the friends, so they could all have a picnic there. You know, I think it would discourage a lot of that. And also, I would still say, I'm sure dogs make a mess. But
we don't even know you're stressing over there.
I think the dogs impact, but the people impact way more.
It's just finding the right balance,
so
right?
Is, yeah.
And like Lesher Farm, I won't tell you, can't tell you how much work I've spent on signage education with our rangers, and it's I always said it before, but it's personal responsibility of it, and you can only manage so much of it. So yes, but it's always good to have some brainstorming of ideas. So.
Okay.
All right.
Tara's like so stressed about
it. So, I'm just kind of like.
City Council updates?
Hi. So, we've had one meeting, two meetings since this last meeting. One of them, the heater came and rocked the room.
I watched it. You did a great job.
And thank you for the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Thank you. I've been pushing that to make it so that all of our meetings are not stuck in WebEx where they're kind of hard to access.
Yeah.
You can't watch WebEx like on your TV or, I don't know, put it on while you're driving in traffic and listen to it. You can't do any of that. So having it on YouTube is something I'm really passionate about. But I would say your coming and making that statement did have an impact, probably a strong impact, in the sense that might have just gone straight ahead.
Otherwise,
the reaction I seemed to hear was that you know, pause and figure something else out. And I don't know, I can't speak for everyone else, but it did definitely sound like the direction we'll be going, and it's not that one.
Good. So we really appreciate your support, and that was very clear in the meeting, and it's nice to feel that alignment. So thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm aiming for. On top of that, I guess there's some off-the-limiter update to give. I guess this would have been the Friday before spring break, after we had held our meetings to get everything out. We got a letter from the school district's lawyers, kind of threatening to revoke their letter of intent that they had sent to us with their intentions for our intent to do this. It's pretty ridiculous. But they said as a result of that, they didn't know which direction what we were doing. So we needed to make a decision by April 4th. Or that was off the table and they would go put it on the open market. So we had been kind of under the impression that things would be different, but it is what it is. We then started discussing what kind of offer we would make, and apparently Icon and the city attorney have been working very closely together to come up with a reasonable proposal. That's come together a little bit, but a couple days before we needed to reply, I guess the city attorney requested just a word document of the letter that they had sent, which is apparently very common in the legal world. You have that so you can track changes, send it back and forth. Well, their attorney refused, said, no Word document for you. And it wasn't because he didn't know how to convert from PDF to Word. It was because apparently the offer was take it or leave it. As a realtor going through that, the terms of the letter that they had proposed were atrocious. I would sooner jump off a cliff than ever sign something like that or have one of my clients sign something like that. They were very bad. They were awful. So we ended up, in the spirit of what we had thought we were doing in the first place, sending them a counter offer. It still gives them their price, but the terms are actually workable for us. One of the most important sticking points was getting more time. They wanted to close by June 30th because that's when the school board terms end. I don't know. I think that's a pretty dumb reason, but yeah, we need way more time than that. Icon needs way more time than that. And any buyer will need way more time than that. Also, any buyer is going to be scared off by the public response to purchasing that without a part component. I think that would be pretty difficult to get a national home builder in here and not chase them out. Not terribly opposed to chasing them out, that's what it takes, but.
Kevin, and I'm sorry if I missed it along the way. 3.5 was all intended for upgrades. It's 3.5 minus 150,000, whatever that
what is.
120,000. And so when folks are having their discussion, and they're referring to the $3.5 million bond, are they seeing that 3.5 as being all to purchase, or are they seeing it actually be 120,000 to purchase and 3.3 million to upgrade? Because that's what we actually approved.
That's what the bond said, right?
I mean, seriously, I think this is really important because we approved a bond that had that language in it. And I would hate to see us commit 3.3 to a purchase price. We can commit 120,000 to a purchase price. And so I'm just speaking as a member of the Parks Board. I would hate to see all of that go to our purchase price, and then do we have to come up with another levy or parks or bond to actually pay to make that park usable? I think it's a serious question that needs to be answered.
That money can't be used.
That's not necessarily true, but the way Icon has put their proposal together, they're going to be paying for the park upgrades. Some of that comes through like SDC credits.
it's a pretty creative setup they've put together. I wish they would have put it together earlier so we had more time to go through this. But yes, we are aware of the fact that 3.5 versus 122 or whatever that was, there might be some discussion to be had there. Taking that seriously, otherwise can't really comment on what that looks like.
So the thing we don't want is even a 2-acre park without the ability to have a bathroom, without the fixes that need to happen to that park. And we don't want to, when I see the city council, say, hey, let's do this with ICON, and here's the park, and here's 2 acres of park, parks park. And you have to take care of it, because that's not something we want to do, it's not something we can do.
Or that it's planned as if it's a private community use park, like a Cascade Summit, you know, they have their little special thing they have. I don't know, because it hasn't come to the Parks Board in any way. ICON's actual proposal for their park renovation, has staff been engaged in that in any way?
So just in the last month or so, what they've only proposed is space and put an example of what it could look like on this plan. And I made it very clear, we just had that part of the discussion and returned back in your letter that the speech grade sent over that it was nothing's been designed. There's been no community outreach that would have to go in for any park design. That has part of our process. And then you have to weigh your needs assessment, right? And then it would have to be designed by somebody. So what's on a piece of paper right now shows an example of what the park could be from ICON's perspective. And there are some things that have to be tweaked, but we have not gone through a community outreach process of what that park should be.
Well, is it anything close to what your standards are for community?
It's just a line drawing right now. It's just what my, so right now the drawing has a potential two little lily fields was one option. There's 44 parking spaces in one drawing, 33 parking spaces in another, a playground and a shelter. There's things that have to be, there's a lot of things that have to be considered as far as the size goes. A senior league field, which is what the baseball team said they were needing, it would pretty much take up that field, especially when you have foul balls on either side. So there's things to consider. It hasn't been, they just needed to show something, to my understanding, and Councilor Bonington, if you can help me on this, they needed to show something on the design so people can imagine what it is, but it has gone through no process yet for that venue, right? It's just to show what it could look like. And so we made a point that on the letter that went back to the school district, that ICON had actually, we asked them to write on there, this is just a example of what the park could look like. ICON has, you know, suggested, the city hasn't done any overall analysis on that part yet. So yes, so that's where I've just seen the drawings and have had just getting hold of with my technical expertise with the tree grove and things like that. My part would really come into this if this deal goes through and figuring out those next steps in that process to do a real, like our due diligence on building a new park will be. So
has ICON identified a budget that they are preparing for park development in their proposal?
Yes, very, very broadly. A number of specifics that still need to be worked out. I mean, that's kind of a problem with throwing this together in the course of a month. There's something to speak to it, and they have an idea that's very workable, but the details are not.
There's no details there, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm feeling responsible to bring it up. I agree with a lot of Westland people, and it has come up in some tidings. There's Stacy. And this was the nature of the conversation. I honestly didn't have an answer. Here I'm on Parks Board, and they're kind of looking at me like, this was a bond. We know what we voted on. You know, this is saying it's purchase price, and I was kind of put on the spot by some members of the community, and I felt very ill prepared in any way to address it. But it really made me think I need to be asking the question.
Yeah.
And so I'm not trying to poke holes in anything.
No, it's
not at all. I'm just, it's like,
I was caught totally flat for this. Like, I honestly don't know. So,
but we'll be honest with you from what Kevin. So I've been, whether it's fortunate or not fortunate, I haven't been really part of the process. There hasn't been a need for me until these last, it's been Kevin. So if you think about it, it's been like weeks. I maybe not even just you give an update at our last meeting, and most of this has transpired since then. So there hasn't been a lot, and there's been a lot of legalities. I'm trying to think of like, there's been a lot of legalities. So I am just getting into it where my technical experience is coming into. But right now, there's not even, I can't even provide any except for just saying the things that have been shown of what we can and can't do with that. My number one worry is that the community doesn't see and think that we have designed something when they see that plan. That's my number one worry, because that is not what's occurred, and that's why the labeling of that map when it got sent to the school district. If it just, right? So I think there's a lot of process. I think it's just council has been trying, they've been given us such a short timeline to do something and trying to do it right by the community. So I think it's been a very difficult situation to put in. I mean, genuinely, it's been very difficult from just on the outside looking in. Trying to make something, trying to save something, right, is what the goal has been, but not knowing if it's even possible.
They obviously don't want to sell it to us, and they're continuing to move the goalposts, make it a poison pill for us. But somehow we're still in this. I don't know. To your concern,
yeah,
and yours as well, same concern. We are thoroughly aware of it, and there's plenty of discussion going into that. And I will be happy to follow up with you when I can tell you more.
Okay.
It is definitely noted.
I hate to be put in the position of saying I have absolutely no idea.
Well, that's why they're really angry.
I mean, you know, I love to be I'm a organizer. I like to make people happy. They were angry and like, what do you mean you don't know?
Well, and like some of this information just even became public just on Friday when the letter went in. So it was just the timeline. And if you were to say that, just to give you some space on it, I didn't even think of share with you before. So yeah, I didn't know. Well, you could definitely. It's all, there's a lot of legalities going on in this. So
did kind of come together last week very quickly. I was giving her notes on what the counter offer should look like, I think Thursday night or Wednesday night or something. So there's a reason that we haven't been able to bring this up. I think the city attorney would not be super stoked about trying to publicly put this information out there when we talk about this. It's during executive sessions, so the public can't be in there.
Well, I appreciate you standing firm and looking closely as you are. To make sure that this isn't, it sounds like some people don't have our city's best interests in mind. So thanks for protecting that.
Thank you for that.
Any other updates from the city council?
Beyond that, no, not really. We're kind of getting ready for the budget season. at our last meeting, I directed the city manager to kind of identify what the difference is between what our budget will cover and what we should be able to provide that people are demanding, would like us to provide, what we would like to be able to provide, so we can identify what that incremental difference is and begin to look at options for that and ideas to bring that under control. So I'll have more about that soon.
So I provided positions or staffing needs that get us to stabilize so that we're not burning staff out with our current, and then how you called it, my unicorn Santa Claus list, you know, but there was like, there's, and then also some adjustments that I might be able to make within our current budget to get staff correct where they're at for their services I provide. It's nothing crazy, but it's like, you want to make sure that people feel valued and are compensated correctly. So it's been nice to go through that process. It's taken me a while to get there, but we were able to, and I was, this council has been very supportive of asking those questions of understanding our limitations versus what our requests are, or even our desires for provided service. And so I've been really thankful for that. I feel like we had a voice in that, and the questions are being asked. We may not be able to get any of it, but at least we're getting asked, and it's really appreciated. Even when it comes to Oppenlander, my concern is an expression of our field maintenance. We are just starting to do field maintenance right now. Like, we haven't been doing it for years. And so the cost, I'm getting the cost of what we're spending this summer are things we have to do for safety reasons. And knowing what that will impact, I want to get a park, I want to take care of it well. And so that it, I feel like I've been heard in that means. So it's been great. So,
yeah. So that's my thought is that what I'm calling the community enhancement fund is it's going to be explained more over time as it's fleshed out more, but I mentioned it at the last meeting to an extent. And I think there's a way to get these things done, get this park maintenance taken care of, have that extra traffic officer in a way that doesn't give people sticker shock. It's not like, whoa, you're taxing me to death. I think there's a way to do it in a way that everyone's like, oh, that's pretty insignificant. And we get a lot more for it. So it's kind of what I'm trying to put together.
Awesome. Thank you. Ready for Tree City?
I think so. Is Tara ready?
Yes. Do you want to share?
If we're able to show the video. For our community outreach this year, as we're really diving into Tree City more than we have in the past, staff has had the fun, a little stress to start, but more fun, of creating videos for each month of Arbor Month, which is April. And so the first one went out, and we're promoting our big theme is Free a Tree, Free the Tree. And so Alyssa, who is our rec specialist, who oversees all of our events, she is an amazing tech person and does a lot of great things with the website and does all of our social media. So we wanted to share with you this video. And we'll show the others will be released on Instagram later. Thanks so much.
You guys, perhaps.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. Did you put it in the chat? Oh, I didn't do the YouTube. I didn't do that. No,
here we go. Can we show them?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I think it's in
City Share or singing.
Oh, gotcha. City Shared. We can skip it if you want to. It's in City Shared admin.
It's a fun video.
It is City Shared admin, and then presentations. It's in Kathy's folder down part. Oh yeah, administration. So you can see all the files we have. No, all the way down the bottom. It'll be presentations. Oops. Right there, presentations, and there. Oh, she took it out. She deleted it already. Okay. Well, we won't switch on that.
Oh, shoot.
We'll send it out. It's actually fun. So it's one just promoting Tree City. It shows volunteers who work in the park, explains why we have Tree City and the Tree City. There's four levels of Tree City as far as requirements and when it's having a tree board, which in the past routinely had been council, but we're moving this to you. So next year, you'll get this presentation in March, and you'll get to see what we're doing, essentially approve what we're doing. But the first standard is that you, you're good. You share the screen. So Alyssa put this together. We have it displayed, we showed it to council as well. So we went and did the proclamation and showed them what we are doing with Tree City for Arbor Month and our Arbor Month activities. And so the first one is having a standard of a tree board or department, which we're the department and you guys are their tree board. The other standard is that we spend $2 per capita for supporting our trees. And this last year, we are at, this includes staff time, tree plantings, installations, and care. And we're at $435,000 of tree care and planting. That what does not include is what Public Works has done. They do their own street tree planting, and at the time we were able to capture information. So next year we'll have theirs. Our number of tree plantings will decrease because we're not doing the free tree event. We'll still do, you know, the free tree program that we had. It was part of the ARPA funding, but we'll be doing our own tree planting, and the tree plant trees that natural areas groups plant will be encompassed. So we're getting a whole bunch more data this next year. So that's pretty exciting. The other standards that we have to have a tree ordinance, which I'm going to be talking to you about a little bit here shortly, and then the Arbor Day observation and proclamations. The proclamation was this last week, and then our free plant giveaway was done within a day. Yeah. We have to find our plants. People came in and loved it. And then we're starting with these kind of tree talks where we'll be staff will be a staff, and I think maybe a teacher at the high school will be highlighting trees once a week, and we're going to be how to go ahead and free the tree.
Buy a tree.
Free the tree. And we're trying to promote having everybody be able to free a tree on their property, come to a volunteer work party to free a tree. So that's one way we can save our natural resources, our canopy, and also reduce our fire risk. So there'll be a how-to video. It's the first time we've done these things before, so it'll be fun to have. But it's a little board that we have that we made, and then the tree talk videos are in that QR code, but you'll see them on social media. So
great work.
So a part of that, it's fun. It's really, I'm sorry, it's fun. To me, that's what it is. It's like we're educating, and then we're also having fun with it. Okay. Slide deck two is the next thing. A part of this Tree City, which those on the screen do not have, and I will email it to you. All the people, all those here on the board who are in person have our Tree City USA work plan. Part of our accreditation is we have to give a work plan of what we're doing for the following year. It looks like a lot, but a lot of it we currently are doing on an ongoing basis. And so I wanted you guys to be able to see what we turn into the Arbor Day Foundation to hold up with our accreditation. A couple things that are relatively new will be some of the review of the tree code, which I'll go over with you soon. Our Mediterranean Oak Borer education, we haven't started yet, but that will be coming out this year on our website and doing outreach on it. Updating our tree permit. Right now we haven't updated, we haven't gone live with it. I'm getting ready to. But making things more clear for the community for applying for trees and as well as our ability to process them. And then a lot of this has to do with MOB, and then also we're partnering with the Youth Action Council. There's a student there that is really interested in Mediterranean Oak Borer, and he's doing research on it for one of his projects, for a science project, will be working with me on doing outreach and at our pollinator workshop, our pollinator event. And then it's just taken all of the Youth Action Council over to the White Oak Savannah to do a work party, and is going to be going back to do that. So it's another great synergy of getting youth to understand why it's important to protect our forests. We have the Arbor Week celebration that's occurring right now. Earth Day event, even though it's not Arbor, still ties into it. And Pollinator Week also ties into this certification. So we get to use some of the same information for Bee City when we go to do that report, but it's pretty impressive what we do, and I don't think a lot of people do recognize that. I am excited, though, to be able to partner closer with our Public Works Department and Engineering and Planning on some of our updates and managing and collecting data on our trees that we're planting on our streets with developments and other areas. So we're just kind of growing our program. It's there. It's just kind of making sure we're collecting the data and getting the news. So it's exciting.
So that's the
ass work.
Well, it's been fun. They've all done it. This isn't like, I mean, we added a few things, but it's just capturing what we're doing. And so,
and you know what? That is something that we have asked for. You know, it's like people don't know all the awesome stuff. They get caught up in tugboats and it's like this. It's really important.
It's good for you.
Well, and tied to this, it was Volunteer Appreciation Month as well, and we didn't realize we were going to do the proclamation this last city council. Next year, we'll do it better, where we'll actually want to invite our volunteers to come into that council to get that recognition. But it tied into all of this work that's occurring here as well, so we got to share statistics. We have over 4,000, oh, you're going to do that, 4,000 hours of volunteer service, and that's what we saw.
Oh, it's right
there. That is right there. Yeah,
4,700.
And that's just in our natural areas, right? So it doesn't include our volunteers, but like your guys' hours, and those are things that we'll start to capture this next year. So it's all valuable, and it all goes to the cause. So, as well as like our events and things.
Yeah. So we had like 70. We had 72 work parties last year.
Wow.
Regular basis, monthly ones, and then the one-offs that are like quarterly, something like.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, those other details are in there. And yeah, 1,300 hours, volunteer hours.
This one was for the natural areas. We got was 47
volunteer hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is for the monthly ones. Yeah, and then including, you know, even our adult center too. We have like 40 volunteers over there regularly.
So we help
out 5 days a week.
Huh? Yeah.
Wow.
But we do work parties. I know that we're kind of out of order, but I think it's relevant. Like Tara coordinates with the volunteers, and then we'll talk a little bit about that. And then, but then the the rec or the park staff ends up coming through, and we bring debris bins and gravel and mulch. And did you have that information?
And last year there was 65 boxes that were put out.
So that's 65 deliveries and pickups to support work parties.
130. They touch twice. They're dropped off and then they're picked up, dumped, and all that stuff. So, 15 yards of gravel, 19 loads of wood chips, and 6.5 yards of bark.
So, those will be some fun facts that we'll start producing. So, people will come up to you guys with that. But what I wanted to touch base before we get to tree code, which ties to it, jump here on there, I feel bad about it. Well, I'm going to do it now. The next slide. So we had our first meeting with our volunteer leads for all of our natural areas restoration groups. And I just wanted to show you the agenda of the things that we went over. We're going to try to do this, whether it's quarterly or at least three times a year, kind of opposite of the season. Like this is kind of the end of the natural area season. We potentially do it in September at the start of the season and one in the middle. And the goal is to ultimately give them updates of what's happening on with the city so that we're partnering on that effort. They're not just out looking solo and gathering the information of what they're doing. And key part to this, though, and a big change that we're getting to, where we're finally going to have a volunteer waiver form, which is typically people. What this is designed for is that it's in the book. It's just like essentially a sign-in sheet where it's not a whole lot of information we have to gather. It's more paper looking because you have the waiver on one side and you have a sign-in sheet on the other. We went through that. We're just getting this approved with our city attorney and how we can, I told the volunteers, it has to work for you guys. I use this in the field when it's raining, so it does work, but we'll have to figure out some of those nuances. Like for regular volunteers who are there every single day or three times a week, how do we give them just one waiver form and they track their hours separately? So we'll be able to figure it out. This is a huge step because I'm always worried about risk and liability for everybody, including the volunteer leads. So we went over this and explained the why and the how. Our big thing right now is garlic mustard season is coming out and we're contracting with Mosaic Ecology. We used to have Clackamas Water Conservation District would come and do garlic mustard scouting as well as treatments for us throughout the city. And they are no longer able to fund the work here. Their goal is now focused over on the Mualla River because they've had a bigger outbreak there. And so all these little circles are actually spaces where garlic mustard has been seen and scouted. And so at Mosaic Ecology, they're a tried and true company that are working on filtration. I've worked with them for years. They're going to take over this work. And then in addition to that garlic mustard work, I don't know if everybody is familiar with garlic mustard. I'm going to go back if I can. Garlic mustard is a class A weed. So like where blackberries and ivy, we want to remove them. Garlic mustard, we're required to move it. The reason is that its impact is quite great. And it's, where it is relatively small and potentially obtainable to control. But what it does is it actually can turn into a monoculture where it will grow and it sends out toxins through its roots, so nothing else wants to grow there. So this is a plant that when you remove it, you have to bag it. You can't compost it. If there is any sort of a flower ahead there, if you were to spray it with a chemical, it will still continue to produce seed. If you pull it and lay it on the ground, it can still continue to produce the seed. And so we actually have to literally pull them and bag them. If you're able to do treatments, which we're doing because it's a small amount, you want to get them before they're flowering. If they're flowering, you need to do treatments after or need a hand pull. The thing is, so if you see something and you need getting it to die, and if you still have some seed base, it's, you have to pick your balance. But it also has a root kind of like a carrot, except for it makes a J root. So when you go to pull it, it has a tendency to break. It's a super weed. Yeah. People like to make pestos out of it. You'll see pesto time come on when you're in the weed geek world like I am. People like to make pesto out of garlic mustard, and it stinks because you're dragging a bag around, pulling it, and it does smell like garlic and mustard, and you eventually start to really hate that smell. So we are starting to, we did education with our volunteers, so they're on the lookout for it. If they see it, to notify us. Exactly. Yeah, but we have all these other groups that don't necessarily know, and so that's what we were grateful for, and then we're going to be able to partner with that group that's going to come in, the contractor, to be able to do some of that work and find out where Marietta County has it or where it's already being managed. So it's our super weed. the super meet of the month, it's coming. Yes. So, yeah, I was super happy to hear that you guys were ordering. There's a gentleman, or is it?
Henry.
That's it. Henry loves it.
Henry loves Jill. He knows where all of it is.
Yeah, so that's where we're going to partner with Henry.
Believe me, Henry will take you every place that is. There's not much anymore.
No, which is great.
He's always off, you know. He helps me with trails, but every once in a while he goes, I'm not doing trails today. Bounty Buster, we go right ahead.
It's awesome. I mean, it's an impressive weed. A lot of our super weeds are. I mean, they're very impressive. Another one that we're working on and focusing on is, we talked about Lesser Solidine, which is not nearly as impactful. It's that it has like a ranunculus leaf, really waxy, and has a beautiful, vibrant yellow flower right now. If you'll see some at the front of the adult community center when you drive by, we're gonna dig it out. But it is also a super weed. It sends out bulblets around the plant. It dies, it goes dormant when it gets hot. And then the bulblets around are at the base below just the surface. And then every node, so where a leaf branches or where a flower petal, flower head is, it'll create bulblets there, and then they float in water. So it'll stay. So it's called Lesser Solidine. And it's not, its only impact is because it grows late, blooms up like about a month from now before, and it'll go until it gets warm, and then it goes dormant, like some of our bulbs do, right? Like tulips, essentially. So its impact is much less, but boy, they're like almost like a nutlet, they're hard, and they just float. When you dig one out, it is crazy to see how many there are. And that's why in LO, you'll see any down swoop where there's remnica, where it is, it's just all the way down to the water. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It looks great.
It does. But we're going to start taking a friend in the group that wants to dig it out. So, yeah. So anyway, I can get on my invasive weed horse and get back off of it now. But that's what we were talking about. So to me, it's bringing those volunteers together to have some direction and guidance with us, with their leadership, will help us. My goal is to lead for funding down the road, whether it's grant funding or, but we need to show the work that's being put in. We need to do. So I'm excited. The next thing I had on the ties into trees is kind of our review of what's going on right now with our tree code. And this is not specifically a Parks Board item, but to me, because of the work I do, and we do have trees in our parks, most is for the private sector, but I thought it was important for you to understand as it may become more of a topic coming up soon. And so I just wanted to give you a brief overview of what we're doing. Since I've been here, and we've had one arborist who had retired, and working with Mike Perkins, who is not he's our interim city arborist. He'll be going back to parks full time once we fill this position. We have a position vacant that was part half time arborist and half part time kind of project manager. That position has I've left it open at this moment. I could really use the help. But the reason why I didn't fill it right away is because the way our tree code is. The way it works right now, there's so much of it that is required of an actual arborist when a lot of the work is an admin level need. And so right now I have a contract arborist on retainer to be able to, and who's working through this process with us, to be able to figure out if we can balance to have a part-time arborist versus full-time arborist, or can I do it solely with the contract and admin support. Mm-hmm. The goal is to potentially get to a contract arborist to be able, a consulting arborist, to be able to do our technical tree pieces of the, you know, that where there needs to be a full evaluation and recommendation. And that a lot of the other pieces that are very clear that from an admin function, admin could be me, it could be a project manager, it could be anybody who would take that on, but you don't have to have an arborist certification. And so that's what we're kind of looking at, is why I have not backfilled that position. Is trying to find a half-time arborist and a half-time project manager is literally by maybe a needle in a haystack. So council and city manager have been really kind of giving me this time to explore this, and I'm kind of getting to this point where we're looking at it. So with the tree code, we are not looking at doing an overhaul. We're not opening up the tree code by like doing a whole big thing. That may come down the road. But what we're looking at is there's a lot of areas that need to be clarified. And so I want to make sure you guys knew what the goals were. It's trying to make some clarification on the technicalities of the tree code that are very unclear for the community, as well as for the arborist who's assessing the code and applying it. And so it's been a really great process. Been working with code enforcement, all the departments that it touches, code enforcement, engineering, and planning all have some pieces of this. This is not the community development or the CDC code. this part of it's in the municipal code. And so what we're looking at this holistically of where we have issues. So some of just the simple things like business days, when we have 20 days to get back to somebody or their permit is automatically approved, we don't work 5 days, 2 days off, 5 days. We have every other Friday off. And so what is business days? We have, there's a definition of certified arborist that has two layers. And right now, International Arbor Society is actually the main certification. So we did clarification of that. For example, DBH is breast height of measuring a tree. The definition of it wasn't clear, so we clarified that. The definition of a hazard tree had old language, and so we updated it to current, you know, current standards of what that definition was. So that's kind of the goal with this, is not to change any intent of the code. It's trying to clarify the things that are gray and ultimately to make it better for everybody. But even the public notice process is very confusing as to when you notify, when you don't notify. Is it a sign? Are you doing letters? So we're trying to get that more clear so people know what to anticipate when they put their application in. Even the street planting process, it's required that we have to do every single tree planting. And we're supposed to buy the tree, we're supposed to install it even on development. And so trying to figure out how you clean up that language so it does give you opportunities and options for when like that comes up to play. The other one that's really important to me is that, for example, we right now the code says we are not allowed to ask for an arborist report from somebody. And I have a situation right now, I'm going to just say you two, you guys have a hazard tree between you and you apply for the hazard tree and you have no art. So then we're coming as a city to evaluate that hazard tree. We don't necessarily know your risk and we're evaluating yes or no, whether it's, and we are not, there's a whole arborist report that goes with that. There's, you usually classify it a 1 year, 3 year, or 5 year review process. And so we right now with the trees that we can't see the hazard, which you can't always see in a tree, that we're actually just asking if people are willing to get an arborist report, and then we would consider that. But according to the code, we're not able to ask it at all. And that, to me, that's a risk of liability for the city. It's very sticky. So that's
one of the. You're not going to require them.
No, we're not. Well, we're asking that it's an option, because right now we as a city shouldn't be assessing your risk. And that's what the code is asking us to do.
Right. So if I have a hazard tree and I believe it's a hazard, mm-hmm. and I call you to say, hey, I want to take this down, and you come out, look at it, and the city says, no, it's not a hazard. And I go get an arborist to give me a hazard tree report, and then it falls on my house, I'm going to be much better.
But also it's like, you know, we don't do hazard assessments all the time, right?
Right.
There's different levels of hazard assessments. So what that does is that person is ISA accredited. They can't just give you smoke and mirrors on getting your tree taken down. They have the insurance. They can set the monitoring rate. It's trying to find that right balance. It doesn't mean we're going to ask that everything gets, you know, you have to give us a hazard tree valuation, but it gives us the opportunity to say to somebody, I cannot see it, but if you want to get a certified arborist to come in and give us we'll take that into consideration. That's the goal. And although anytime you do a hazard removal, you're required to have a hazard tree assessment because of that risk and liability. And then you also know, then you know that person's working for you as well, and they're following the standard code versus the city coming, and you could have your own opinion about that. So those are some of those things. So I'm looking at it very much from a risk and liability. But I also think from the homeowner, there's so many things that are so unclear that there's a lot of gray where it doesn't have to be fully black and white, but it needs to be clarified. And so that's what we're looking at doing. There, down the road, there may be a need to fully open the tree code. That's, I'm trying to get it to workable so I can move forward with this position. And so we can start, it's kind of building that trust with the tree program and making sure it's very understandable. And right now it's a bit convoluted. In addition to this update, there's a tree technical manual that's tied to the code, and that hasn't been updated since it was created. So there's some of those things, it's more of just the technicalities of how you plant a tree, how do you all of those. And so that has been updated by our consulting arborist. The part I love is our consulting arborist, and he was arborist for Tiger. He's hired on an LO. He's worked with Milwaukee Street Code. He's very diverse. And so he's kind of assessing best practices that are regionally and applying them to how we can within our code. So I have a great resource on that, and I'm super happy. So we're going to be going to council on May 5th for a work session and kind of talk about these suggestions. Pull out a couple that might be a little bit more, I don't want to have any, like, we're trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. There's a couple that might be a little bit policy questions as far as to a fee, like right now we can't charge a fee. Is there the time to charge a fee? How should that be updated? So there's a few things like that, that they will give us direction on what to do or not to do. So that's kind of what we're just presenting it. My biggest concern is clarity for the homeowner and our city's risk of how we're handling it. So there's, even if there's, say that Vicki has told me that she's going to remove a tree and she didn't give me truthful information, I have no means of pulling her permit once it's been provided. So I have a label, I used to do that. So we're looking to add in, or, you know, within the ordinance that we have, if we are not given full information, that we have the means of stopping a permit. Right now, we don't have a means of doing it. So there's just some of those things that are just kind of cleaning it up since it hasn't been looked at in a while. So again, not trying to prohibit anybody from doing what they're doing now. That's no intent of change. Over time, we get urban forestry management plans that will help guide some of those changes down the road. We don't have that. So so my goal is kind of my make or break of to move forward with the part arborist, kind of continue on with our contract arborist. We find some admin support that we have to finish some of these other pieces.
Is there any opportunity to repurpose that position into deputy director?
So potentially parks analyst or parks manager, parks analyst in general, somebody who can be a project manager with planning background to help me with projects, to be able to help me with some of the, you know, grant proposals that could be coming out in overall park planning is what I'm hoping to do. I am an arborist, so if there's questions, I can help with that technicality. But like our current arborist, if you're considering the pay rate, he has to go out and deliver every sign that has to go out and put them in somebody else's yard versus somebody coming and picking them up. So you're looking like, is that the best use of his time and skill set? No. When it comes to mailing letters, he's got to put it together, but then we have admin stuff to mail it out. But he has to manage the 20 days, the 30 days, go pick up the sign, give the approval. Now there's an appeal period. It's like a lot of admin time, and that's what you'll see in there. The administrative part of it is a lot for the skilled labor of an arborist. And so I'm trying to find that balance that with a consulting arborist, I don't want to pay him a high dollar amount to do that. Mm-hmm. So when we can get some of these clarifications, so a lot of it can be admin work, and then the important pieces of an arborist can be managed by the arborist. Mm-hmm. So that's what my goal is, but we'll see if I can get there. But right now, as I see it, by not filling that position, it's not just hurting me, it's hurting the staff because I am not getting to the things that they need trying to do both jobs of that role. And so they've been very patient with me. And so has Cal. I mean, they could have taken that position away, but I appreciate that they understand what I'm trying to do by filling that right. So
sorry, babe.
Thank you. Sorry, that's a lot of words, I know. But more to come on that. And we don't know what they'll say or what they'll do, but I wanted to at least give it our best effort on it. Okay, I think that might be my last one. Oh no, my next one. My next one is very exciting.
Okay.
This is very tiny to read. Those who are on computers can see it better. You guys at home. So since I started, the very first kind of couple weeks I was here, I met with all of the parks maintenance staff and asked them things that weren't working or things that they would like to see. And currently, up until just a couple weeks ago, the staff would come in the morning and they would kind of get their duties and they would all be assigned to go out. What I realized wasn't happening is there was nobody going to parks regularly in the same frequency to see things that were happening, things that were changing. Signage that was put up, I always use my joke of the swim diaper that was at Tanner Creek. It sat there for several days, but because people were coming in to do one job and leaving to do another, and another one come in to do a job, and nobody was kind of in charge of that area. In the park. So what we did, Jen, we talked to staff a long time about this, and because this is a change for how they're operating and made sure this was something they would want. This is a starting place and it will definitely change as we go through. But everybody was assigned areas of responsibilities. And because we're just starting this now, which we would have wanted to start this fall, but it took a little longer to do. What our goal is that restrooms are checked every day. They're serviced every day, if eventually twice a day. And if we have reservations, those reservations are checked at both time slots now. And that when that person comes in, even if they're not in charge of the splash pad, they're checking the baseline of the splash pad, they're checking the playground, they're checking the parking lot, they're checking the shelter. and doing a baseline upkeep. Then what will happen over time, and currently right now what they're doing is there's still these large projects that people will do together. This is not intended to silo staff. It's intended to have somebody have that autonomy and pride in those spaces, that they know what's going on a frequent basis, and be able to start doing some long range planning with Jen, who's our supervisor, and myself.
Right.
That's the goal.
Yes.
And you get that pride, right? You get that pride not only from just seeing your work as you go through, and you're not doing it all alone. We're still a big team. You know, you plan for big projects. You're like, hey, next week I need to do this regraveling. Can I borrow a couple seasonals or a couple people to come help me? Yes. You know, so there's just this constant eye on what's going on. And I'm hoping that we'll see an increase of service to a level of those basic things that need to be fixed on a regular basis. When a sign is broken at Maria Shang and it's just broken, nobody's in charge of really taking that on. But somebody can note it, and they know, and they can have a plan for it, working with either whoever it is, whether it's a supervisor or myself, to get those things fixed. But the part I really emphasize with them is I'm hoping this will actually end up giving them more time, because our frequencies of going to parks and not being systematic about how we're doing that has not been there. A mower, of course, is going to go and mow, have to do all that mowing and go to every park. Yeah. That's going to happen during the summer. But now in the wintertime, that person, Thomas, is going to be coming over and helping in the park staff. The three leads on top, kind of the conduit, but they will be working and covering. If somebody's not there to get the restroom clean, they go down and help clean the restroom. We haven't had anybody keeping an eye on athletic fields, and our irrigation tech is going to be keeping an eye on those areas because he's going to be checking irrigation. But if there's a broken head, somebody in that park can change that head because they're going to be cross-trained in doing it. It's not all in one person. So we pulled this all out and showed the staff the week of spring break. They've been at it a couple weeks, and still we're going to probably be switching some things. We're going to be rerouting a few areas. We'll find out, like, the natural areas person, we've never had a natural areas focus, and he's going to primarily be focusing on trails right now. But because we never had that, he's still going to need to go do park stuff this summer till we can understand it, because that's a whole new area that we haven't been managing. So it's really exciting. I think my greatest part was there was good feedback. I went the next day and was like, first off, I may be the director, but this is your work. So this is an idea that you guys have added. This is an idea that Jenna, and if this does not work for you, then we have to make it work for you. If it changes from this, if we go back to the way we were, we look at a different system. But to me, they have to own this and have to want it. And the next day I had people asking, well, I think I need a smaller truck because I can't get down to these areas for it. And I saw people blowing the mowing crews, but it was really, I'm hoping, a vitalization for them, not only for what the customers will see and the citizens, for them to feel that positive ownership.
Well, they're empowered.
And pride. Yeah. Well, yeah. And you're going to see the same person regularly. You're going to see Oscar. He's retiring. But you're going to see Oscar on a regular basis, and people are going to be able to give those things. Or, oh, hey, in the back 40, there's a tree down. Or, oh my gosh, I noticed the toilet was clogged. You're going to start to get that connectivity. And I'm really excited for that. So it's been a big desire. Oh, you're fine. Big desire for me as far as what the staff wanted. And I thought we could give increased service, better frequency of time, and better ownership. So I just wanted to show you because it's taken a long time.
What happens in the city? And most people go to a certain park. It's not that they don't, you know.
No, they have their park.
They have a park that's near them, okay? And if there's an individual or two that's sort of responsible for that park, and people know that, and they meet the person, and they know the person, then it's a really, really good thing to do.
It is really, it just really builds that community, I think, and I think they're really going to see it and feel it, you know. So give us some patience as we work through it. It's definitely different for them, but I had the person, his name is Matt, who's going to be working on the trails to start. He's already going through mapping out trails, which are, we need to approve what's asphalt, what's not asphalt. You know, he's like, I need a tool belt so that I'm walking through, I can print trails as I'm walking through. I mean, there's just already this like invigoration, and I know we'll hit maybe some stressful times that may not always work out just right, but they keep empowering them to make it what they need it to be with the goals in mind. And I've really just said that cleanliness of our facilities and safety is my number one. How the other stuff gets done, we'll figure, you know, but just start with it, that's where we're gonna go. So,
well, this plan also, builds value added capacity by removing running around time. I mean, you look in your groupings, It's logical. Well, we're going to go here, 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 all in one area. And I think that, you know, you're cutting out a lot of non-value-added wasted running around. And so that helps their capacity.
Well, and the other piece that you probably didn't see in that is that each person has a main park, right? So you didn't flood, I mean, the person who has Willamette also has Fields Bridge, where their use is different and their time use is different. But they all have a main park and then other kind of smaller neighborhood parks that don't have as much attention needed. But I was explaining what I saw, for example, my experience at Millennium Plaza in Lake Oswego, which is busy all day long. That person had a neighborhood park, but when it got really busy, they left that park and they went and did their other work elsewhere. So you have this way of escaping kind of too. So you're not always stuck in the grind of a lot of people, right? And also some of the frequencies where we have a lot more open space areas on this side of town back here. There is a couple of areas that don't make sense with the sketch with the, there's going to be some crossover because you didn't want somebody to have more acreage than somebody else or more amount of toilets to clean. Or splash pad. So there's like our splash pad lead has two splash pads, but not at the main ones because he can get to those and take care of them and he can be available to troubleshoot the other ones around. We've also spent money on upgrading our software system for our splash pads that we can now monitor from our phones. We have another big purchase of $20,000 to do it, but what it's going to do is we were actually having paying three people to drive around splash pads all summer long, and most of you have five. So we've invested money in that way to reduce our labor, and then the splash pad attendants will also be able to do more landscaping to give them a break from dealing with just the splash pad. So I think that's where ultimately I'm trying to get to in the cross training. The more, if you have a park, you have to be, you know how to change a filter in a drinking fountain. You know how to change, you know, so a facilities person that has more backup too. So if somebody's gone, somebody can come over and pick up. So. Anyway, that was a lot of words, but it's taken a long, pretty proud of that they're okay with it. That was my biggest worry because it's a change for them. But they had asked for it, and I think it's going okay. Terry usually hears behind the scenes, so.
Notice is good news.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, so that was kind of my, that's the main part of my update. I know Terry's got some more stuff, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Really excellent work. Any comments from the group? It makes sense because it does two things. It empowers people to give a hoot, like these are my parks. And it also gives them accountability because otherwise it's like, well, I don't know, Bob was supposed to do that. I don't know. I reported it. That was Sam. So then nothing gets done. Okay. But if it's you know, and everybody wants to, well, I think people want pride in their job. And so they feel like, hey, I'm kind of in charge of this. You know, right on.
Yeah, well, and it, we did this in recreation too, where even like, for example, somebody's in charge of events, but it takes the whole department to help with it.
Yeah.
It's just, even if we can't fix something quickly, somebody's making the, pushing the ball to the finish line. And that's kind of like, so if a citizen asks, like, oh, yes, we're fully aware of that, it may be a couple of weeks, or we're on, we had to get parts ordered. Like, there's just that part of the accountability so we can share that with the community too. Because that person will know where things are sitting, even if they're not the one fixing it, you know, because it may not be their special. So, it's a lot of talking from the day. I feel like that's more.
You know,
it's awesome. No, I'm not sure. I'm like, funny. No, I'm
that's great.
Okay, so thank you guys very much for the
time. Parks, or excuse me, events and recreation.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. Yeah, we're sure. Okay. So much was
going around. No, I'm sorry. I'm like, we're not really going to.
Which is most expected. Okay, events and recreation. So our summer catalog came out. Hopefully you guys all got that in the mail. Registration started on Monday. Great turnout. Lots of registrations already. Got some small camps.
Good. The Ferris wheel.
So we have some great photographer. Great. I mean, they just have this amazing system that they can just tweak all these. Yeah.
Different
camps. It's awesome. Yeah. That went out. Monday, yes, registration. We did have our Arbor Week that started this Monday. Yep, success. Everyone came in Monday.
like three
trees left on Tuesday morning, and then just were gone. So we had 100 giveaways, and they were just like record for us. So it was fantastic. We are pushing out. Next is our Earth Day Work Day, so we're celebrating all of our every month. So that'll be down at Willamette Park, 9 to 12. Feel free to come on by. Lime burgers at the end for lunch. other than that, we've got picnic started, picnic rentals. So we are doing that double shift a double, you know, booking each day. So we did have about four, started on April 1st. So we've had four last weekend, and we have about four this weekend. So it's slowly getting there, but we're just going to wait and see how that double booking goes this year. They are filling up on rec desk in the first fiscal 9 months, but it's kind of moving slow right now. Other than that, to think of what's coming up next.
Nice city or ball town there, but that's
yeah, that's in way. Yeah. So yeah, just right now we're just full swing of fair mode, music in the park, movies in the park. Movies is out for voting. So if you guys want to vote on the movies, feel free on our website. And still kind of promoting some of our spring classes that are still in effect right now. So we have in April and then a few in May. So we're kind of promoting some of our spring classes. Spring Mini Hooper starts next week. We have that going. Yes, another basketball round.
Yeah.
It's been so popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, we're just kind of summer mode right now. Trying to think what's up. ACC is doing great.
Yeah. They're doing great.
They're just full all the time. As you know, they're
all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, you were working lots of days.
Yeah.
Yeah, the taxes were fantastic this year. I mean, I think this week they're extending a little bit, maybe another day this week. It's tax day soon. But yeah, the AARP has been fantastic this year, helping out all the seniors.
Awesome.
Great.
I'm not even suggesting this.
You know,
don't say.
You're going to host the pollinator, I mean, Mason Media event. And I don't know
we have
yes.
I just, this is just, I don't know if we want to do it, but you know, we have all of the dates of movies in the park, music in the park, and the old time fair. And I'm just wondering if there is a way to have a calendar push. Or to set up invites and make sure city council has like invites to all of our events. And we could have invites to events. And, because I transfer this to my calendar.
Mm-hmm. Do the same thing. We do it ourselves as
well. Yeah.
But in general, I think too, because we listen out for all of the other departments, because we want to kind of go across the market a little bit.
I have to send you there.
So if you happen to be setting it up as an event in your Outlook, invite us.
Oh, just let us know.
Invite Parks Board. I mean, we can say no and define it. It doesn't have to go to our calendar, but if you're entering it into your calendar anyway, so it wouldn't be interesting. But invite City Council and invite Parks Board.
So, you know?
Yeah.
The great stuff is happening.
Well, it's not just that, but it's a reminder of all of the work you guys are doing.
Yeah.
You know? If you don't put it on the calendar, you know,
I'll be worried about the extra effort. But
well, it's nice. Well, we took, Melissa took his friends' events, still working on sponsorship. We're kind of fleshing that out. Where, how we best market it, how do we give right opportunities? It's always kind of a struggle as far as or wanting a meeting, but she did a 4-pager, essentially a 2-pager, but I left it on my desk for a while because when you flip open after the sponsorship part, it lists all of our events that we do where people are just have no idea. And you get to see it in the snapshot, and it was really, John was like, the same manager, like, I mean, you know, but when you see it in your document, and a lot of people don't realize that we come to fair. Yes, that's why we put the fair on the front of that page.
Yeah,
but they don't know that our department
has been calling the fair. That's true.
You know?
I've seen some other organization come
right.
In.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a use.
I do that many times.
Right. Well, it's a use to not be
us. Who does this?
It's us. So I was like, you know, not two people in the.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Anyway.
I like that idea. That's great.
Okay. Great work as always. So then we have items of interest from board members. And I just wanted to make sure at our last meeting, we had a recommendation, an advisory to City Council on Alderman Miller. And we had an advisory to City Council. One was emailed, one was presented. And one of the things that emerged through this is, let me guys talk this stuff.
Tara actually doesn't, I'll put it in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I'll put it.
Yes.
Okay.
I have records in my notes because before I went to city council, I actually reviewed 2 years of my own personal notes from parks meetings to gather all of the times that we talked about the tugboat.
Yeah.
And all of the things, and every time we said, let's advise the council, there were 3 advisories. And you can see that I did include that in the text regarding the tugboat. But since we had 2 after 1 meeting, I thought we don't have a good system for reviewing this. It took a ridiculous amount of time, 2 years of my handwritten notes. And so I just put together this little log with the most recent at the top. I almost built a little database for it, but I thought, you know what, that's way too much. And so it just has date regarding how was it transmitted, what was our vote. And so I actually wrote out what I was going to say to city council so that there would be a record of the actual advisory. And when I said, this is the 3rd time that there were a couple of faces on city council.
No idea.
Yeah. We don't know what you're talking about. And in my personal notes, it goes back, our first advisory was through Ken.
Right.
You know, and so.
Ken Worth.
Not one.
Oh, he's terrible.
Yeah.
And so you can see on the entire presentation of the advisory that took place for the chair, for the board. That holds me accountable. I'm representing our Parks and Rec board. It holds me accountable to you that I'm representing us well. And we have a record of it. And then the email that went to city council regarding Oppenlander. And so in the meetings, I can just pull this log up and type it in, and we have an ongoing record. So,
good. So how are we going to get access to that?
So it was emailed. What we'll do is we'll send it out to the whole crowd. That's what we got stuck with me. Vicky sent it to you and I, but it's just sitting there, and I'm gonna put it in our folder, and then I'll email it out. And then we have an update, we'll just email it out.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then I know Vicky had suggested to have it be posted somewhere. It might be able to be posted on our website. That was one thing I had down on my to-do list to check out to see what we can do. So I want to see that the citizens know that you have sent it.
I am torn on that. I love the transparency. And if they weren't part of the discussion, part of me is like, they'll just paint big, huge targets on us.
That is true. And also, we have to make sure it's updated. If nothing happens for a long time, it becomes irrelevant on there. So if that's okay to keep it off for now, we'll find a different mechanism or need for it. But I think the history tied to your work plan, I think, is, you know, when a new person comes on, that's part of the information that goes along with that. I think that's a good observation or thought process of that.
So just point of clarification, the advisory log would have anything, whether any form, whether it's email or you going and speaking to council, anytime we provided anything to council, here's what it is.
Yes.
So theoretically, the 3 times that we did this would have been in the log.
Yes.
In the save of time, right?
But how many times it's like, oh yeah, Ken would say, oh, I'll mention the city council. And it's not on him. That's not,
no.
It's not, the problems aren't with the people. The problems are in the process. It wasn't a process.
No.
And so
that's great. I think that history piece is key. Well, it just is. You look at the time you spent on it, and I only had a certain amount of knowledge of it, you know, so.
Yeah. By the time I got to city council, I was like, this is me. Stop talking about it already, right? Oh my gosh.
That's great. Right.
Anyway,
I know, right?
Very good.
So I had.
Okay, awesome.
My favorite. Not had a significant knee problem, so I haven't been doing much in the park, but the bottom line is that as you drive in the road, you know about.
Yeah, we do. We're just talking about it today. Yeah.
Don loves to take gravel and rock to grab.
Okay.
So that's why you see rocks and stuff floating around. You'll put it into the tractor and try to fill it in. Problem is that doesn't do anything.
No, actually.
You drive over, then you end up with rocks.
Spread, yeah, have a gravel.
You've talked to Don about that many times, but every time, like, I don't go to the park as often anymore, but anyway, when I drove there the other day, I saw that, I said, oh, Don's been out.
Yeah, we're aware of it. We were notified of it today.
Yeah.
Talking about the plan. We're trying to figure out a plan as later for us. We're in the street department to have them come down and find out how much we can cold patch or how much, like, to get through the summer and then fully do that section, so.
Yeah, that section is the one that you cold patched a number of times.
No. We just have to, we have to buy time until, you know, we can't do it forever.
I know. And the thing about it is, the best time to do it is in summer because it's not raining.
100%.
You all know that sort of thing.
Yes.
But that little segment there with that first speed bump that you go by the other parking lot, that's an area that always is the same thing.
There's a lot of water there too.
And I know we're talking about shit.
Yeah.
People are upset about the shit. Are we going to try to make it bigger?
Well.
I think it's fine the way it is.
So I.
Fix the leak.
So we've just met with friends of, with the friends group and they're asking about the leak. We have no plans to make it. We haven't been asked to make it bigger, at least I haven't been, but that wouldn't be necessarily our purview to do so. I don't. So I've been out, we're fixing the roof is what we are doing.
We've had that, I mean, I've been there for 20 years now, longer than that. It's just been there a long period of time. And it's kind of full of stuff. But I mean, I take seven wheelbarrows out of the shed oftentimes for kids to do stuff in and all that kind of stuff. It is fine.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that's hanging in there and, you know, it's fine the way it is.
Yeah.
Just be, you know, they tried to fix the leak last year.
Yeah, we're getting it. We're gonna, yes, we're gonna get it officially fixed this year.
They did, it seemed like it would be okay. We wouldn't know how it was going to be till the winter when we found out that that didn't work. That's cool. But I would say, be doing the whole shed.
No, I don't know that we could, but the means it is now.
I responded that when Don sent his thing out. I said, I think, hey, we just leave it where it is, fix the roof. I mean, that's fine. It's an expense we don't need to use. We've been using that shed forever and it works fine for this stuff we use. So.
So are there any other items of interest from the board? Diana, Chris, Stacy? We're good? Woo-hoo. We've done the city council update.
Can I give them an update of where I am when we get a chance? Just they did not get to hear about why we weren't talking about the park use today. Those who are online.
Oh, absolutely.
I realized the three of you, why you weren't online when I mentioned why we were, I pulled that from our agenda. I haven't had enough time to formalize in the change from what I had presented last month. And I've been doing a lot of research, more than I did a lot before, but I really dive into the weeds, even looking nationally, and my head kind of keeps turning on how this document could be. So I hate to ask to bump it to next month, but I wanted to bring you something solid. I just wasn't able to do it with the time I had allotted. So, and I'll be giving that to you. It literally, early, definitely more advanced and looking for some feedback and thoughts on it. So, I apologize that I have not had it already today. So just so you know why it disappeared. Thank you.
So Megan, we said it before, your profession is just.
Oh, thank you.
Aren't you just like.
The job is phenomenal.
Well, thank you.
I'm sure your staff loves that too.
Oh, they're awesome. So I'm going to take a moment, 30 seconds.
A young man who was in scouts with my sons is doing some work for me. And I saw on his resume that he had done parks maintenance in West Lynn for summer. And I said, what was your experience? You know, Eagle Scout, like my boys are Eagle Scouts and I really trust him. He's doing awesome work, by the way. And he said, you know, I worked for different directors. And the new director, I can't remember her name, but She came, and this is, he has no idea that I even know who she is. But I was, you know, I like to listen and gather input from all sources. He says, you know, she came and met with us. She knew who I was. Talked about how important my safety is and what an important role we play, and explained things and made sure that we were set up for success. And I've never had that experience with Lynn before. And he said, I went ahead and applied. I'm going to do it again this summer. And I said, I said, well, is it Megan that you talk? Yes, that's Megan. I said, well, I work with Megan. I'm on the Parks Board, and I'm so happy to hear that feedback. But what I said to Megan is, you know, you're doing all of this work, and you don't even realize how many people you're touching in a positive way. And you know, it's always nice to look through the innocent eyes of somebody who's had to work there.
Sure.
And it was just so, it was like, of course I would expect anything else. But it was really nice to know that it's not just here that you're doing excellent work. Is that you really are doing with all of your stakeholder groups. And you know, a seasonal worker during the summer, literally it's easy to overlook them. He had that experience, and the difference was truly remarkable. And he was really excited about it. He's like, this is the way it should be.
Well, I can only do that if I have staff that want to emulate that. I just feel like the staff is not, regardless of leadership, just a million. I'm hoping that they're feeling empowered. So it's like, it's not, it's just, to me, the seasonals make our summer successful. So if they're not valued and you're not shown that they're important, and that's happening everywhere. So part of that change with the park staff is a seasonal staff is being assigned to one full-timer staff, so that they will get that direction.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
And so the thought that they won't still work together in a bunch of projects and do things together, but they're going to be that backup for that full-time of fit, and they're all going to think questions together and prep a part together. And so you're going to then, sorry to add to this, I always have extra words. But to me, it's like, we never know when it's their first job. And we're teaching them how to be able to work and be responsible and give them that importance and that value for what they're doing too. And to me, that's the membership that's important. So
I just want to check, our next meeting is May 8th. And what we have queued up for that is a short discussion on anything we can do for rec center funding, the city, summer event planning and promotion, Willamette Waterfront, and a Highway 43 update that we were thinking about inviting
Chris Myers.
Yeah. And I just wanted, and so we want to move the commercial use of parks into that meeting. And I just wanted to, I'm looking forward, if we still want a Highway 43 update.
We can bump it to the next month too.
Okay.
There's some really great stuff that's going on there too. Chris has done a fabulous job with that project. So yeah, that'd be great to do.
June was really cool.
What was happening with June was really busy.
Yeah. So June we have planning PRAVID events for community input, update on pickleball, preparing communications through Leslin Tidings. We talked about kind of having a mid-year. Let's start pulling some of this awesome stuff together and feed an article. And then
So do you want to list it off here, what you were just suggesting?
Moving budget update to June.
Well, it'll already go to by then.
Well, it's going in
June 12th.
Yeah,
it has to get approved by June 30th.
Right. So I'm thinking
It probably should be in May, just I can show, I just want to be able to show you all what it is. This will be my first budget process to understand how all the moving pieces work. Yeah, yes. So I want to be able to show you just kind of where we sit with budget, with what I understand and know, and what I've kind of turned in. It doesn't have to be a long thing. I don't know how much of what I can send out in advance, I'm trying to think of what I can share and not, and it's not like it's not, it'll be public knowledge. But wanted to even show you what our current categories are and our current budgeting, where I'm considering in areas of focus of that I've advocated for, not knowing if we'll have much more money for budgeting, but I can explain that. Definitely some of the things we're looking at separating out on our line items. So I think that could be a quick overview. I can send that in advance.
That was
so you guys can review that. And then I can go through the chopping pieces of that. So I'll send you a budget document so you can just kind of look at it and get your questions together on the third. And I'll be able to, yeah, that would be a perfect way to go. And then I can talk through some of it so it doesn't have to be a long, boring thing. You know, if I can get highlights and some
things. You don't want to go line by line?
It's not very many lines, which is also kind of hard too.
And then,
she's got all of them.
Yeah,
but I had overview and city data, that should be.
Yeah, it should be a quick one.
Dump that into May, and then let's move Highway 43 up to June.
That would be great.
Okay.
In case something else pops up with Offenlander or something else, it gives us a little wiggle room. And then when we get some more formal updates on Offenlander, there is an article with a letter and information that's in the Westland Tidings right now that came out on Friday. So just so you know, it was there. And so as more things come available, I will definitely be in when I can. I've been trying to, it's like I said, like you saw Kevin, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on that we'll share with the family. And if you get a question, please don't hesitate to ask or reach out. It's been a new target for me. So as far as where I'm getting involved in it now, it's been short. Part of that I feel like is a blessing because it's been so legal and John's let me do my thing, but now I'm getting brought into this sort of materialize. So, okay.
Well,
it should be.
Yes.
Instead of them doing it and saying,
I feel like the whole thing is a really hard spot to be in, no matter where you are from the community side and from the city council, you know. So
I was grateful we don't have a private lake.
Oh my gosh. So
we have no advisories going out. We plan for next meeting. So I suppose we officially close the meeting.
Okay. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks so much.
Yes. Oh, it's always a struggle. It's